Well, thank you so much, Bob. I'm so blessed and thankful to be able to just share tonight and be with all of you and everyone on the phone line. And I love that song, The Apple of My Eye, because we really are the apple of God's eye. And there's a sentence in there that says, "Remember, my children, I'm for you." That's my favorite line in that song. God is for us. And, you know, when you look at Ephesians, and we could spend the next year talking about the book of Ephesians, but the book of Ephesians talks about us, the body of Christ, and how we are the purpose of the ages. And when we really start to look at this from God's perspective, how long has God been in the process of bringing to pass the fulfillment of his dreams, his goals, his absolute love to have a family, to have each one of us, to have a personal relationship with each one of us. And you look back on the Old Testament, and I have some verses here that are pretty neat about how those believers just desired to have that kind of relationship with God. I'm just going to read a couple of verses just to share with you kind of their heart in Psalm 5:7. "But as for me, in the abundance of thy loving kindness will I come into thy house." See, those Old Testament believers, they wanted to have that kind of relationship with God. And God wanted to have that kind of relationship with him, with them. Psalm 5:11 and 12 says, "But let all those that take refuge in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou wilt bless the righteous, O Jehovah, thou wilt compass him with favor as with a shield." He was a shield for God, for his people. Psalm 7:11, "O Jehovah, my God, in thee do I take refuge." See, it was all about the relationship with the Creator. And then the other one I wanted to share, Psalm 9:10 says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Jehovah, has not forsaken them that seek thee." See, God's desire from the very beginning was to have a very personal and intimate relationship with his children. He is for us. He's for us individually, and he's for us as the body of Christ. And he wanted his children to be able to rely upon him. He wanted his children to be comforted by him, to be made whole and healthy by him, to be loved by him, and to be loved back. Just like Jesus Christ expressed, "Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy," that's the relationship that we have with God. And that's the relationship that he's desired since the beginning. And that's why he put the plan of salvation in place, so he could get us back from that fallen state of sin nature to a place of being totally sanctified and his. We are the purpose of the ages, and look how far he's come. Look where we are in that process. We're in the new body of Christ. We're in the age of grace, and the next thing coming is the return of Christ, where we'll be resurrected or we'll be changed, and we'll be with him evermore in righteousness. So we are really far along. If you look at his perspective and how... And we think, boy, you know, it sure was difficult for man to deal with the sin nature and the fall of man. But also, if you just take a minute and think about how difficult it was for him to go through that whole experience, right? So, you know, our theme kind of for the year is to just really improve and increase our fellowship with God and with one another. And I think that's just such a great goal to have. Because God wants us to have total dependence on him. And for us to have total dependence on him, we have to have an experiential relationship with him. So actually the title of my teaching tonight is Living Our Transformed Lives. How do we deepen that relationship with him? How do we understand that love that he has for us more deeply, so it's more meaningful and our relationship with him is more meaningful, right? So that we really get it, like really get it, that he is for us no matter what our situation is that we're dealing with, whether it's health, whether it's finances, whether it's concerns about a family member, whatever it might be, our future, our past, whatever it might be. So, but before we get into, we're going to look at Romans 12:2, and we're going to look at a verse in 2 Corinthians. But before we do, I want to just look at a couple of verses that help us understand his desire for us to have an experiential relationship with him. So if a couple of you wouldn't mind just reading a verse, who would like to read a verse? Okay, Al, you want to look up John 17:3? And who else would like to look up a verse? Anybody else? Okay, Leslie, why don't you look up 1 Timothy 2:4? And Jeannie, how about Matthew 11:27? And who else would like to? Okay, Shanti, 1 Corinthians 2:12-13. We're just going to look at a couple of verses just demonstrating God's desire for us to have an experiential knowledge of his will for our lives. So Al, why don't you go ahead and read John 17:3?
Yeah, since it's about the NLT, by the way.
Sure.
It says, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth.
Yeah. Yeah, that we may, that they may know you. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. 1 Timothy 2:4.
Yes, I have ESV, mm-hmm. Who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's the experiential knowledge, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the scriptural knowledge, but it's to know him experientially in our lives. Mm-hmm. Jeannie, I guess you have 1 Timothy or Matthew 11:27?
Matthew 11:27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will deliver him.
Yeah. So in the King James,
will reveal him.
Yeah, will reveal him, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You know, in Ephesians it talks about the prayer in Ephesians talks about that you might know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's where this is all kind of going to, that he wants us to know the love of Christ. How do we really deepen that relationship with him in our lives through that experiential knowledge? It's a knowledge of what Christ did for us and what God did by giving of his Son. That's how that transformation takes place, when we begin to understand greater who we are in Christ and what he really accomplished for us. That's why I said, when we recognize where we are in this process, it's so fantastic, because we're not like the Old Testament believers who are looking forward to the Messiah. We already have the Messiah, and because of his love, because of his giving, we have the seed of God within us. We're born again. We have a greater capacity to have a relationship with God than any other man at any time than Jesus Christ, right? So, okay, and then 1 Corinthians 2:12-13, Shanti?
12:13.
Yeah.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, 13?
No, that's it. That's great, right? Okay. There. And the Amplified Bible says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, so that we may know and understand the wonderful things freely given to us by God. If we have that spirit so that we can know those things that are freely given to us. So when we spend time in God's Word, that's when God reveals all those wonderful truths about who we are in Christ, the victory we have in Christ, and who we really are. Who are we really? We are sons of God. We are Christ. Al, you are Christ.
Amen.
Daniel, you're Christ. And that's how we have to look at ourselves and understand. And the relationship that Jesus Christ had with God, he revealed that relationship to us. And the way we deepen that and the way we understand that greater is through God's Word. And it's not something that we do either. It's like, no, we don't have to do the work. Well, if you consider reading the Bible, yeah. But we don't make that transformation. So let's go ahead now, and we're just going to look at a couple verses. And the first one we're going to look at is 2 Corinthians 3:18. So if you'll take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, And again, this is what I call living the transformed life. You know, I really am so excited, and I'm just so thrilled with how God set this up for us. He just set it up so beautifully and so wonderfully, and it's just amazing. Second Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. And that word changed is the word metamorpho, and I know most of us here are familiar with that word. And we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So there's actually two occurrences of this word metamorpho in the New Testament. This is one area, one section of 2 Corinthians 3:18. And the second place is in Romans 12:2. So keep your finger here. We're going to come back to this first. But I want to go and look at Romans 12:2, and then we'll come back to this. Romans 12:2. While you're looking that up, the word metamorpho simply means to change the form of something or someone. The English definition is a change of the form or nature of a thing or person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. And I think you also are familiar that this term metamorpho is used in the analogy of an adolescent caterpillar that transforms into a beautiful butterfly. This is a natural design that God set up, and what a great example of the transformation that takes place in our lives. So Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this is really, really, really tremendous, because in the Greek, the verb metamorphou is in the present tense, indicating a continual process. So I was sharing with Bob one time that I used to have this picture of myself, and I'll actually stand up because this kind of illustrates it. And I was in a cone of God's presence, right? Like, here I am in the circle, and I'm with God. I'm in alignment with Him. But really, it's not a cone. It's more like two lines, and you're in a lane, because it's continual. You're moving. You're in His presence. You're in agreement with Him, His Word. You're in fellowship with Him on a continual basis. Isn't that great? And the International Standard Version communicates this idea as continually be transformed by the renewing of your minds. The other thing about this word transformed is it's the verb is in the passive voice, meaning that the subject, ye, receives the action. So we don't transform ourselves. God transforms us. He does the transformation. So when it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, we are the recipients of that transformation. We are not the ones causing the transformation. He is causing the transformation. And the New Living Translation says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then the word renewing in Romans 12:2 means a complete change for the better. Well, that's what I'm up for. I'm up for a complete change for the better. You know, I just keep asking myself this question, God, you know, you love us so much. You care for us so much. You are for us so much. Help me understand that better. Help me appreciate that better, so that when I can appreciate that more from you, I can turn around and tell you how much I love you. Because you know what? He loves to hear that. He loves to hear his children tell him how much they love him, how much they appreciate him, how much they recognize that he is for us and what he's accomplished through the giving of his son. That you might know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's how we get that fullness of God. It's in this transformation process. So the renewing of the mind is dependent on our thinking thoughts about things above, not things on the earth. The more our thoughts are about the things of God rather than the things of the world, the more renewed our minds become. Now, I did something interesting a while ago, and that is I decided to stop listening to the world and stop engaging in the world. So I got rid of all the music. In fact, I disconnected from Spotify completely. I unsubscribed from it. I went into my email, and I got rid of all emails that I felt were not a conflict, but they were a distraction. Mm-hmm. I went and I looked at the books that were on my bookshelf, and I did a little exit of some of those books, mm-hmm. and really got focused on what I was spending my time doing. This is really an interesting thought if you think about it, though. If you have a need in your life, whatever it is, whether it's physical or maybe there's a specific need that you really want to understand better from God's perspective, how to get that need met. Or maybe you're trying to understand better, how can I be more involved in doing God's work? Where do I fit in? How can I serve? How can I be impactful, Father? Well, you know, it really, when you think about it, it only takes about 3 weeks to read the entire New Testament. So that's why I think when it comes to this transformation process of going to God's Word, why not go to God's Word with a specific purpose in mind and just read the whole New Testament and let God show you and teach you? Because I just know He is going to blow our minds because He wants us to know, right? Mm-hmm. He is for us. Okay, well, let's keep going here. The other thing I wanted to just mention here is that the purpose of God's Word is not to inform us, it is to transform us. That is the purpose of God's Word. You know, we know from God's Word, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Is that the purpose of the Word of God? No. The purpose of the Word of God is the next verse, that the man of God may be perfect, fully enabled, right? That's why He gave us His Word. So let's now go back to where you were keeping your finger there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And we know, most of us know, that that glass is like a mirror. So as we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, the glory of the finished work of Christ and what Christ did for us and the position that that put us in relationship to God, our Father, and our relationship with Him, that fellowship with Him. And so as we behold in that mirror the glory of the Lord, God's goodness, and it says here that we're changed into the same image from glory to glory. So we're beholding as in a glass, but we're beholding with open face. See, when the children of Israel saw Moses come down from the mount, he had to have a covering. There was a veil there because the brightness of that glory was so bright. But when we go and we look and admire and appreciate and understand the glory of God and what He's done for us through Christ Jesus, we're doing it with open face. We go in with complete confidence in the presence of God because He personally wants to show us. Because He's for us, right? He's for us. When you leave tonight, somebody's going to say, what did you hear tonight? Well, I think that's the one thing I hope you remember. He is for us. And you can tell everyone you run into, He's for you. It's a really easy message. Anyway, all right, in Aramaic, this word translated, transform, is the word shapel, which is, this is really cool, which is the highest intensive voice, meaning totally altered, totally changed. How do we be transformed? We transform by putting God's Word on in our lives, by reading that Word, spending that time with God in the Word and letting Him reveal His love and care to us very specifically. And then just to kind of finish up here, only as we gaze into the mirror of God's word will we truly see who we are. And I love the fact that when Bob shared, and I first heard Bob share, that our theme for the year was our fellowship with God and our fellowship with one another. And I look at what we're doing right now. We're here together. We're fellowshipping together as a family. And, you know, we cannot minimize the reality of what we're doing here, right? Okay. So, anyway, we're transformed in the same image from glory to glory, meaning with ever-increasing glory. We are glory manifestors. That's why wherever we go, we are Christ. Wherever we go, we can share the greatness of God's love. We can tell them God is for you. This is that part of not being conformed to the world. We're not going to let the world push us back from doing what God's mission is, and that is to bring this family together, to heal people, to bring them into this deliverance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, you know, I think in any situation there's an opportunity to share God's love with someone. And we could all go around the room and take all night about the last month and the situations we've been in where God's opened up an opportunity for us to share this message with somebody else. You guys do the Saturday, every Saturday, and you see really what blessed get people back in. All right, so anyway, so gazing into the mirror of the world will not bring about such a transformation, for we can never see ourselves as we truly are. Don't let the world tell you who you are. Those are just lies. Yeah. Those are just lies. Mm-hmm. And when you really think about it strategically, if there's anything that the evil one could do to try to stop God's purpose in our lives, it would be to keep us from his word. That would be his strategy, to get life so busy and so complicated, to overwhelm us, not just us, but overwhelm man so much that we cannot get focused and prioritize God's word. You know, the world will always give us a false picture and a distorted identity. All right, last two verses. Hebrews 1:3, if you'll turn to Hebrews 1:3 quickly. Hebrews 1:3, it says, who being in the brightness of his glory, speaking about Jesus Christ, and the express image of his person, the New Living Translation reads, the sun radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. He is the one we are becoming more and more like. When we come into God's presence, we will see ourselves as we truly are, just like Christ. We are then transformed into that same image. See, when we go to God's word with unveiled, open face, in total confidence before the Father, here I am, God, right? Mm-hmm. And then 2 Corinthians 4:8, I'll just read this to you. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And this should actually read the face of Christ. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, which is Christ in us. Then we are transformed, and the others see the glory of God in the face of Christ, who is in us, as we manifest Christ to others. Isn't that just fantastic? See, God does the transformation, and then that love and that Spirit of God just wells up inside of us, so we cannot but speak the Word of God. When you're spending time in God's Word, whenever it is, maybe it's the morning, maybe you spend time in God's Word at night, whenever it is, I just want you to be careful. There's some things I want to caution you about. Make sure that when you are in that place with God, spending time in his word, and he's working in your heart and showing you, and specifically showing specific things to your heart, be careful, because you might end up on the floor, flat down, in total praise and thankfulness to him. So my caution is, be careful that when you do that, you've got a rug or something soft to fall on, all right? There's something else I want to caution you about. And that is, be careful when you go to pick up the phone and call someone. Make sure that you're calling the right person, because we don't want them to think you're crazy when you tell them how much God is working in your life, right? And then the final thing I want to caution you about when you're spending this time with God is be careful, because when you run out the door to catch the person walking down the street to tell them, hey, God's for you, be careful that there's not a car coming. So there are some dangers that I want you to be aware of to kind of go along with this, okay?
That's good.
So be aware of it. Romans 12:2 reveals that we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds, and 2 Corinthians 3:18 shows us that we are transformed by the Spirit of the Lord, or literally, the Lord, the Spirit. This is the same Spirit that is everywhere called the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God's Son, and Christ in you. So, finally, just to conclude, as we gaze upon the glory of our Lord and see Him within ourselves, we are transformed. Our lives then become the manifestation of the glory of God. All right?
Amen.
God bless you all so much. I love you.
Thank you.